Welcome to Bible Talk, the program that gives Bible answers to Bible questions. This program is brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. Your speaker is Lynn Huggins, preacher with the St. James Church of Christ.
Good morning. Welcome to Bible Talk. Painful difficulties and hurtful circumstances are facts of life. As a result of living in a world where sin has come, there will be some dark days. But God can heal our hurts. He is both perfectly powerful and perfectly compassionate. He cares and He can help. The psalmist wrote, "Many, O Lord my God, are Your wonderful works which You have done, and Your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to You in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." Psalm 40 and verse 5. And in verse 17 of this same psalm it says, "But I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God." 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." Today on our program, I want to emphasize the fact that God can heal our hurts. But there are three things that we must understand and do if we are to be helped by God. First of all, in order to receive God's help in time of trouble, we must seek God and seek His help. In this same psalm, Psalm 40, we read in verse 1, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry." Also in verse 4, "Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust." You see, God inclines His ear and lends His helping hand to those who wait patiently for the Lord, and who make the Lord their trust. 1 Peter 5 says, "Therefore, for humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." God has promised to be with those who seek Him. Often we forfeit the help we need from God simply because we do not seek Him and His help. James says in James 4 and verse 2, "Yet you do not have because you do not ask." Real faith and trust in God moves us to seek God's help. Faith moves God's children to pray to Him, and not only to pray, but to pray persistently. Persistent prayer is an expression of our faith. Jesus tells the parable of the persistent widow in Luke 18, verses 2 through 8. And Luke prefaces this parable with these remarks in verse 1. "Then He spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and do not lose heart." And in the parable, Jesus tells about a widow who requested of a judge who did not fear God, "to get justice for me from my adversary," she said. Well, the judge did not respond at first because he didn't care. But because of her persistence, he gave her what she requested. And then Jesus says, "Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge His own elect who cry out day and night to Him, though He bears long with them? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith on the earth?" You see, persistent prayer is an expression of faith in God. There are those who do not receive because they do not ask. And they do not ask because they do not really believe that God cares and that God can help. To receive God's help, we must believe in Him and seek after Him. As the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." But then secondly, if God is to help us, we must seek Him for His own sake. We must seek God not just for what He can do for us, but because He is God. Now, it is true that we have problems with which we need help. But God Himself is more important than any of our problems. If we seek His help, we must be sure to do so with the right motives. Look again in James 4. In verse 3 it says, "You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." Some people seek God with selfish purposes. They seek God only for what God can do for them. They use God like we use a vending machine. You know, we go to a vending machine only when we are hungry, and when we have been satisfied, we don't think about it anymore. Well, there are those who go to God only when they need something. They seek God selfishly. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." In this statement, Jesus enunciated a principle of immense importance. We must not allow ourselves to serve God primarily for the help that He can give us. Rather, we must determine first to serve God because of who He is, and in the faith that all else will be taken care of in due course according to His will. Our priority should be clearly kept in mind. First, God's glory. Secondly, the conformity of our character and conduct to His holiness. And then last of all, whatever solution to our problems it may please God to provide. You know, the story of Job illustrates this point. In Job 1 and verse 8 it says, "The Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?'" Well, Satan responds to God by saying, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now, stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." Now, Satan is saying to God that the reason Job is serving you is because of what you are doing for him. You take all that away, and he will curse you. Well, God knew that Satan's evaluation of Job's service to him was wrong, and so God allowed Satan to take away Job's possessions and his children, and later his physical health. Job's service to God here was being tested. And what we learn is that Job served and honored God whether he was blessed for doing so or not. He served God because he is God. Our faithfulness to God cannot be contingent on his removal of everything that interferes with our preferred lifestyle. We do not serve God for what he can do for us. You see, we serve him because he is God. There are churches today, in their attempt to grow, market the gospel in terms of people's felt needs. The idea is, if we can give them what they want, maybe they will come. They pitch the gospel to the public in terms of what God can do for us. They will say, "You need to come to God because he can give us better homes, more peace of mind, improved health, and even greater wealth." God then comes to be seen as existing primarily to smooth out the wrinkles in our lifestyle. We may talk about God, but our religion comes to be primarily about ourselves. But you see, religion is not about us. It is about God. It is about serving God because he is God. It is about glorifying God. Now, he will bless those who serve him, but the wonderful benefits that are truly in store for God's faithful people must never be pursued as our primary goal. If they are to be enjoyed at all, they must be enjoyed as the secondary byproducts of a devotion to God that will serve him, whether it pays or not. And then thirdly, if God is to help us, we must be prepared to accept whatever help he chooses to give. Just as our motives must be centered on God, our minds must be open to the kind of help he sees best to give us. This is what faith is all about. It is believing that God knows us better than we know ourselves, and that he knows what is truly best for us. So when we come to God for help with our hurts, we need to lay aside our preconceived ideas as to the kind of help we think he will provide, and be prepared to be helped the way he chooses. God may not be as concerned about our circumstances, that is, what is going on outside of us, as he is with what is going on inside of us, that is, in our hearts. This may come as a shock if all we want God to do is straighten out the problems other people have created for us. You know, on one occasion, a man asked Jesus to intervene in a family dispute. Luke 12:13 says, "Then one from the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.' Now, Jesus evidently knew that whatever problem this man had with an uncooperative brother, his greater problem lay in his own heart. Jesus said to him, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Well, in the same way, when we're looking for the Lord to solve our problems, we need to brace ourselves for His diagnosis. He tends to be more interested in renovating our character rather than smoothing out our circumstances. He may just work on us and not on those around us. Because God wants to help us where we need it most, God often appears to be unconcerned about the things we think are our hurts. For example, He allowed His friend Lazarus to die rather than prevent that from happening. This is recorded in John chapter 11. Lazarus' sisters had sent to Jesus saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." Verse 3. But after Jesus had learned that he was sick, the text says in verse 6, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. And Lazarus died, and his sisters Mary and Martha mourned. Now, Jesus was not unconcerned about the grief that came to Mary and Martha, but Jesus had a greater good in mind than simply keeping something painful from happening. He had said in verse 4, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." He allowed Lazarus to die so he could raise him from the dead and bring glory to God. We need to trust God's judgment. He knows what He is doing, even when He does not seem to be as helpful as we would like. You see, Paul the Apostle pleaded with the Lord 3 times that a thorn in the flesh might depart from him, recorded in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 and 8. The Lord said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness," in verse 9. You see, the Lord said no to his request, and Paul accepted that answer. God has answers to His people's prayers, but we must be prepared. The answer He gives may not be the answer we want. And I suggest to you that we will be disappointed in Him if our main question is, in serving God, what's in it for me? Well, what have we learned today? Well, first of all, we have learned that God truly cares for our pain and hurt and has the ability to relieve us of our hurt. But in order for us to be helped by Him, we must believe in and seek Him. Number 2, we have learned that we must seek God with the right motives. We must seek God not just for what He can do for us, but because He is God. And then thirdly, if God is to help us, we must be prepared to accept whatever help He chooses to give. Just as our motives must be centered on God, our minds must be open to the kind of help He sees best to give us. Our time is gone for today, and we thank you for listening. If you would like a copy of any of our Bible Talk broadcasts, just give us your name and address, and we will be glad to send it to you absolutely free of charge. We can send you an audio CD of the program and or a written transcript. Just let us know what program you desire by giving us the title of the program or just the subject matter, and then tell us whether you want an audio CD of the program or a written transcript or both. There are 3 ways that you may send in your requests. You may email it in. Our email address is sjchurch@fidnet.com. That's FIDNET.com. Or you may call it in. Our telephone number is 573-265-8628. Or you may mail it in through the U.S. Postal Service. Our address is Bible Talk, P.O. Box 308, St. James, Missouri, 65559.
You have been listening to Bible Talk, brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. You're invited to the services of the St. James Church of Christ, Sunday morning at 9:30 for Bible classes and 10:15 for worship, Sunday evening at 5 for worship, Wednesday night Bible classes at 7. The church building is located at 685 Sydney Street in St. James, where Sydney Street and Highway B intersect. Thank you for listening, and join us again next week at the same time for Bible Talk.